You are tuned to KPTZ. This is Brewocracy Now, our weekly chat with John Morrow, Port Townsend City Manager, about all things Port Townsend. Grab your coffee. I know John has his. I have mine. And as usual, I can tell that Mr. Morrow did a quick jog up the stairs to get into his office just in time for this broadcast. It's a good thing he is in good physical shape because this is not unusual. Hi, John.
Hey, Tim, how are you? Yeah, cutting it kind of fine here. I had to bail out of line for a sandwich and abandon lunch, but I'm here.
yes, well, it's not the first time, Mr. Morrow, that you have abandoned lunch. So welcome to Brewocracy Now. And a lot has happened since the last time we spoke. Well, actually, last week was just kind of a fun episode, the unveiling of the Historical Society Project downtown. So, and that went well. It was so nice to speak with you outside of our normal way of speaking. I'll put it that way.
I love it. I just love KPTZ continues to be innovative and creative and pretty agile and courageous and just trying new stuff. And so thank you. That was a lot of fun. And I know Mari Mullen and Shelley Levins and everyone else we talked to at that event seemed to have a really good time. Thank you.
Well, and for the record, that was your idea to take it downtown. We just sat here with our fingers crossed and we were happy that it worked. So let's start off with a few things that have happened since then. Unless is there something on your mind that you want to start with?
Oh, I mean, look, why don't you go for it? There's a bunch of stuff that's happened I'll mention, but I'll try to weave that in.
Okay. Well, one thing that comes to mind is the PDA board, the new PDA board, or at least the candidates for the PDA that have stepped up. Any thoughts about that?
Yeah, I think you will see on Monday at City Council a recommendation from the nominating committee on which I serve, along with State Parks and the PDA and the partners, the nonprofit, you know, backbone, lifelong learning partners there. We've worked together to get through a slate of candidates. We're making that recommendation Monday to the mayor and for concurrence with council. So it's another good milestone. I mean, I think, you know, I'll try to bite my tongue on some of the somewhat sparky comments some of the outgoing PDA board members made about, particularly about the city, which, you know, I would disagree with some of those comments, but no need to stir the pot there except to say we've got a transition and really looking forward to new leadership and continuity of, you know, the mission here. We really can't afford not to have that Fort Worden be an awesome place.
Well, yes. And from what I've seen just in the newspaper, which is the extent of my knowledge on this, there was some pretty impressive backgrounds among those people that have applied for that position. Which will be needed.
Yeah. Oh, it's you know, I like saying everything's an all hands on deck exercise because it's important to work maritime analogies into everything I do. and second, because it's actually true, you know, and you know, one of the things just even last night, I was at the Friends of the Library gathering they had downtown, and to see a room packed with fully vaccinated, you know, 30 people celebrating the support that group gives in a volunteer capacity, raising funds for programming at the library is just an astonishing demonstration of what happens across this town, which is people step up with their time, their creativity, and their money to make good things happen. And, you know, same thing at the fort. It's an all hands on deck exercise. You've got the state and the PDA and the city working together. We've got these partners who provide real value to what is delivered for programming and activity and mission at the fort. And you've got the community who's really, you know, I haven't talked to a single person in the community who said, you know, actually, I don't really like what happens at the fort. People really care. And that's part of why I'm here. So I'm excited for a brighter future.
And people do care, and they do tend to step up in this community. I think we at KPTZ can vouch for that on an ongoing basis every day.
I forgot to mention that, Tim. That was the obvious mention at KPTZ. And I'll say, just you sparked an idea in me. We had a great conversation with the tenants, of which we are one, at the Mountain View campus, both of us. And because we leased that from the Port Townsend School District and where you're sitting right now. It was so lovely to have Kate Ingram there. And for every organization around the room, from the Red Cross to Working Image to the Food Bank to the YMCA to KPTZ and to our very own police department and facilities team. I mean, every one of those organizations delivers to the community and actually draws on an impressive volunteer base locally. And so it was a really good demonstration of how much firepower is behind KPTZ. It's all volunteer, and it's pretty impressive.
Well, and since you brought up that name, Kate Ingram, our general manager here at KPTZ, she did give me a call about that meeting, and she was impressed that for the first time she was able to really sit with everybody, that all the stakeholders here at Mountain View, which in my mind is a very unusual collection of tenants and future tenants. And it'll be a bittersweet day when KPTZ leaves this place where I can see the mountains and the dog park in the distance. You had a lot of stakeholders there. What came out of this meeting? What sticks in your mind?
Oh, I think what sticks in my mind is something I think Kate volunteered to do. And I think two things that I was really grateful. One is that she said, look, even though we will be moving to the fort, we're interested in this community here at Mountain View. And I just thought, how lovely. And I really love the sentiment. And I believe her. The other thing is, the things that these groups provide to our community might go unnoticed. And actually, those stories need to be told. So I think Kate also volunteered to help tell those stories. And I'll just say, you know, to meet Andy Stockton, who literally gave me my second vaccination at the Red Cross volunteer and also a volunteer with Department of Emergency Management. He was there in the Red Cross capacity because they're at Mountain View. And I kind of missed that. He was literally the guy who gave me my jab. Those are the kinds of things that Red Cross does, is they march up to disasters or to emergencies locally and globally and provide value. It was just awesome to have him speak to what the vision for a local Red Cross, can be. Thinking about Molly at Working Image, I mean, it was so great to meet her and actually hear how they repurpose clothing for women in need to look sharp and actually I forget exactly when their office hours are. I think they're open one day a week now. They might be going to 2 days a week. But they want to serve more people and they're all volunteer based. And so it was just so compelling to hear that they work with the providers, in our community that provide housing and services to try to reach more women. And anybody can march up there based on their own self-referral and actually get some really beautiful clothing for free. And some things that are actually, brand new, like underwear and things like that are actually not reused. Those are brand new and they you could self-refer. Same thing with the food bank. I mean, they're open to anybody. Shirley was celebrating her birthday. She's usually everywhere. She was in the skies, I think, hang gliding for her birthday. It was a present. So she wasn't there. But Neil Wheatley, I believe, was there, and he was great. He talked compellingly about the food bank's vision. And I think our community probably knows that the food bank has really stepped up and is always there for people. But to get into the specifics there was really, really helpful. And then, of course, Wendy Bart at the YMCA was there. And, the YMCA has just done marvelous stuff historically, but especially recently. I mean, I've been really enjoying working with Wendy, providing, going from 4,000 meals provided to 30,000 meals during the pandemic locally. That's astounding. And they just started their camps. They're helping us work through challenges at the Mountain View Pool. This is just a fantastic group. And in fact, right now, my team is meeting with some of her team to talk through some of that. So, what a collection of value in organizations that are volunteer driven and, not even touching KPTZ because you speak to that so well. It was just so it was heartening to see that's how our community really stays together.
Well, John, one thing comes to mind. the value of meeting together face by face on a picnic table there in the shadow of the magnificent Mountain View Cougar, just the value of being together in person, and that's coming back. And I can tell in your voice that you are impressed with what happened there. And in my mind, this just having this resource here, Mountain View, I mean, it was a school. A lot of things could have happened out here. And the best of those choices was made by the city, as far as I'm concerned. Not the least of which is allowing a KPTZ to be here and get our feet on the ground. I don't know that we could have done this without having this place. And I think that probably a lot of the organizations out here, the Recyclery, needed a roof over their heads. And it was provided out of the foresight of the city of Port Townsend.
Yeah, I mean, I'll mention Recyclery too. I mean, they're on a separate lease with the school district now, but I think the city before my time ushered that in. I mean, I literally have a kid's bike sitting at the Recyclery for a little bit of repairs right now. You know, it's a great community resource. And I'll mention the Pickleball Club. I mean, they're active in that location. There's a whole host of groups that use that. And I think this tilts us toward, well, what could we do in the future? And I think that was one of the premises of actually meeting is, first, we can meet again if we're vaccinated, especially if we're outside. I mean, we could meet and gather and problem solve, which we did a little bit. There's some little niggles that we want to work on wayfinding and distribution of information. I mean, we had a little to-do list after as a group, but then what's the vision? You know, what could this look like? And I'll say, coincidentally, across the street is the golf course. And as a community, it's my hope and desire that in 2022, we're actively talking about how these pieces come together and what our future vision is for both of them.
And speaking of getting together, the Board of County Commissioners held their first in-person meeting. Was it yesterday or very recently? What is the plan for Port Townsend? Is that on the radar?
Yeah, definitely. It's a great question. I think I kind of dodged that one when the press asked, because we didn't have a go plan in terms of which day. However, I will say we did have an open public meeting of city council and department directors at the Carnegie Library this week on Monday. So, you know, in a weird way, we barely beat the BOCC to the punch and had our first public meeting early Monday morning. But we haven't brought, and I say that just jokingly, because I'm, you know, there's no competition here. We're trying to, you know, it's different situations for each of us. But, you know, I think what I'd like to see, and the team's been talking about how to do this well, because on one hand, I see, let's get back into those beautiful chambers. It's the people's house. The seats aren't necessarily terribly comfortable, but it just feels right to be back in the city hall and the city hall, the council chambers. And, you know, I think we're probably going to be moving back there in the next month or so for our business meetings and our workshops. So, you know, anticipate sometime in August, we'll do that. The other thing, though, is that we're considering is that I think a lot of different people engaged with the city council that probably wouldn't have shown up at council chambers at 6:30 on a Monday night. They might have tuned into KPTZ. So eternal thanks for that. They might have just live streamed us on our website, which you can do from the comfort of their own home. And now they have the chance to raise their hand and make a public comment instead of, you know, getting in the car or on the bike or whatever to get back down to City Hall. So access is important to me. And I want to make sure as we bring back live public meetings in person, we don't let go of those people that have found access through COVID. Let's keep the things that work for us and blend them with live in-person meetings.
Excellent idea. And I see hybrid meetings coming. I think that the pandemic has had a lot of pros and cons on that. And I see us moving very quickly in a lot of arenas towards some of those things that we have learned during COVID. You know, one thing I missed, and you'll forgive me, because as an outdoors person, I was at Mount Rainier, so I have a good reason to have missed this, was the Cotton Building, the candidates. I don't want to say, it's not a forum, but put on by the city to inform candidates of, you can explain this better than I can.
I'm glad you were Mount Rainier because I think I would have been there first. With due respect to the city council and candidates and process, luckily I scored a reservation in August, so I'll take my kid to Rainier. I love being in the shadows of Mount Rainier, or I've actually skied off the top of it a few times myself. So I think I could bring it to speed quickly. Yesterday evening, we had a information briefing with the current six city council candidates. And so you, like me, might have received the primary voter pamphlet in the mail very recently. If not, it's available online. And we have a primary that is bringing some interest and excitement to the race earlier than what would have happened during a general. So we thought it would be prudent to make sure that we provide all candidates with information that they probably, likely know, but you don't know who knows what bits and where the gaps are. So we presented to the candidates on what each department does, the city's strategic plan and comprehensive plan and kind of the foundations for, and even the roles of the council and city manager form of government, because some of that's a little bit of an enigma for some people. We did this with an eye for not just the candidates, but the community. So we set it up so people can call in and listen. And we went through about half an hour of briefing. If you could imagine me speaking for just 15 minutes and then dishing it off to all department directors to just speak for 15 minutes total. And that was the overview of all the departments of the city, and what we do. And then we had an hour for questions and answers because we wanted to tailor it to specific needs of each candidate and to do so in a public forum so that there's no appearance of fairness issues. There's no, some people have information and, a channel into asking questions and others don't. This really was for everybody. And like I do when any candidate asks me a question, because they're doing their homework. That's what they should be doing. And it's nice that they're doing their homework and it's going to make them better candidates. It's going to make them better city council members. But then, of course, I respond to all of them with the answer, not just one-offs with each individual. So this was meant to just provide a foundation of understanding for how the city works. And it seemed to go off well. I mean, I was really proud of my team for delivering such succinct detail, information, and also to the candidates for asking really great questions.
And, it seems to me that this is a very valuable service because we can't expect our city council candidates, who are, as we've spoken about this before, are essentially volunteers from the community in many respects, to know everything that they would be asked on the campaign trail, especially when it relates to public sector financing, can be tricky and enigmatic. I guess that's the word. Was there any particular topic that you found of most interest to the candidates?
Well, I mean, obviously housing came up because they're doing a forum on Saturday. With the Housing Solutions Network. So a plug for that. We talked about that a little bit. And, I was brutally honest that we're definitely part of the picture, but we're not going to single-handedly as city council solve the housing crisis. So that came up. I mean, I think the details of the finances, I think they were caught a little bit flat-footed on a budget question at a previous forum. And so we wanted to make sure we covered a bit of that without getting into the way too weeds. And it's complicated. I mean, I think I mentioned at that forum yesterday, Public Works has 14 separate enterprise funds and line items, just as one department, and so untangling what's what and what can be spent for what, that was of high interest. And I think particularly around the limits of local government, because when you get your tax bill, you probably think, oh my gosh, why is it going up so much? I mean, I'll be honest, I do too. I look at it, I say, okay, wow, that what increased? But if you look at the city share, what's really for the city, it is a small fraction of what's on that bill. And I'm not saying that, there's no reason to have a levy for the school district, critically important, or for EMS, or for whatever it might be. But untangling, from a property tax point of view, we're really limited but to a 1% property tax increase a year. And so the overall narrative is, cities taking on more responsibilities, but our purchasing power over time, really, especially with inflation starting to tick pretty high, is lower. So we have less to deliver for more requests. And I think helping us all understand what we pay, where it goes, is really important. I heard that come through loud and clear. A lot of the candidates speaking to the needs of those who are in fixed income or who are housing stretched, can't pay 60% of their salary on housing. That's impossible. So understanding of how things work is going to be helpful so that they can talk about those solutions.
So are you saying that we're not going to repave every road in Port Townsend next year?
Is that what you're trying to say? Absolutely. I mean, maybe over a certain time period, we'll get there. I think, I want to be brutally honest. I'm a really ambitious guy and I've got big visions and want to make great things happen. And that's part of why I'm here. And I've got a lot of energy for it, but I also don't want to tilt at windmills and be, another conversation that came up was, things that are way outside the city's jurisdiction. We don't set state or federal policy. Maybe we can influence it, but let's just be honest. We're not going to change taxing at a state or federal level. We just can't. That's not something we have the power to do. So let's be honest about what we can and cannot do.
And I think that's an excellent policy. And I think that for most of us, just brutal honesty, especially when it comes to finances, works quite well once it's understood the limits of what we can do as a city. We only have a few minutes left. And this is John Morrow, Port Townsend City Manager, if you're just joining us. Anything else that you would like to chime in on? I have a question. Actually, this may be a little outside the scope, but I know that Port Townsend has banned fireworks, and we've had a fireworks ban for quite a while. And it appears that the county, who we are all residents of, by the way, will be considering something to do with fireworks. You have any feelings on that?
Fireworks are fun and nice and stuff, but we're, as a West, in general, looking at significant fire danger, across the West. And it's startling, even in Washington State. I get an update from Chief Brett Black on what's happening, who's being deployed to Wenatchee and Highway 20. And there are active lightning caused fires and even maybe human caused fires in our very state. So, I think that's probably the history. I haven't dug into the history of why we created that ban here, but my guess is we're just trying to keep ourselves safe. So, I think it's in that spirit that I look at what the county's trying to do. I think, unfortunately, it takes some time for things to be in place. To change policy, it takes more than just a meeting, but, that's not a helpful comment, but, be careful out there, people. There was an issue, and I'll raise this because Chief Black passed this around too. Somebody was trying to torch some weeds, and with due respect to that person, just trying to tidy up their garden. Well, a shrub caught on fire. And sure enough, suddenly it was, 10 feet tall and blazing out of control. And luckily, they were able to control it with garden hoses before the East Jefferson Fire and Rescue came on scene. But that could have ended up very differently if that weed had caught right next to the house. Even here locally, things are dry. And so a little ember that could fly through the air and start somewhere else could make the difference between having a house or not.
That is absolutely true. And we're about at the end of our time. John Morrow, lots to ponder in this city. Fires, fireworks, COVID, our COVID rate has gone up to 1.8. And it appears that every day we have more than we're used to positives in this county. So we are not out of the woods. I do understand, though, and this is from Charlie Bermant, who I think spoke to somebody out there, that we will be seeing the Wooden Boat Festival again.
Yeah, I'm thrilled about that. And it's nice to see real people and real places. And if you haven't gotten vaccinated, now's the time. I'm in a building now where I don't need to be vaccinated I don't need to wear a mask because I can validate that I've been vaccinated. And the interaction with people without feeling like I'm going to kill them or catch something is a tremendous step forward from this past year. It feels like I could be human again. So please help us. It's not just about you. It's about the whole community.
That's right. And it allows us to be able to get back on our feet again as a community, have the Wooden Boat Festival and all the the festivals that we have become accustomed to in Port Townsend, and stay safe at the same time. So yeah, there's that. All I have for you, John Morrow, and I look forward to next week.
Yes. And as do I, Tim. We'll talk maybe next week about banked capacity, because that's something that I'm presenting on Monday to City Council. And it's going to involve a lot of community involvement, a town hall event on the 26th, and a number of ways, including a survey that people can get involved. So stay tuned to that.
Banked capacity. So that's next week. Intriguing. Okay. All right, John. Thank you so much. Until next week.
See you, Tim. Thanks.